Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday afternoon, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us wherever you're tuned in around the state or whether you're with us online. However, we're glad to have you with us on the show today, and it's a good one. We're about to talk to South Alabama head baseball coach Mark Calvey, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com joining us later in the show, and Dima Mixon from the Student Prince will be here to talk about tomorrow's spring football game. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps Studio in Hattiesburg, and Laurel, Bob, Kelly, and Luke. Opening segment, as it is every day, sponsored by our very good friends at Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place for a weekend meal with your family and a great place to cater your next Southern Miss athletic event. All right, Golden Eagles on the road tonight, an old foe. The kind of it's one of these teams that when you say you're playing them, Southern Miss fans start to feel a little queasy. South Alabama in Mobile this weekend, a three-game set. Delighted to have head baseball coach Mark Calvey on. And, Coach, let me say, first of all, we have such great appreciation for you baseball coaches because y'all are so accessible and willing to come talk college baseball with us. We're really grateful to you, Coach.
Well, it's a pleasure being on your show. I appreciate you having me.
All right. As you heard me say, people up this part get a little sick to their stomach when they hear their playing South Alabama. Can you go ahead and explain what it is that South Alabama holds over Southern Miss that y'all have so much success?
I can't explain it. We haven't had much lately. I can tell you that. I think in the past we've had our share of success in the last, you know, there was a period there where we had the edge on them in terms of, you know, head-to-head playing, but sometimes it just happens. Numbers work out that way, and some teams are that team to other teams. And, you know, there are certain teams that, I don't know, sometimes the matchup is great or it just isn't your weekend or, can't explain it. You know, have always had the utmost amount of respect for Southern Miss and, not just baseball, but as a university and their fans and, it's just one of those things you can't explain. I think, you know, it's always, you got some good competitors, some good players on the field and they go at it. A lot of guys know each other and, it's just, it's good college baseball.
Coach, how's your team looking so far this year? I know you're off to a pretty good start, and I know you were disappointed with last year, which was so unusual for your program, but how are things looking right now?
Well, we got off to a really good start and we've had a couple lulls here and there. We've dropped some games that were there. We've dropped some games that we should have won and we haven't had many that we've won that we should have lost. You know, you always get those games. You have some games that you lose that you should have won and you won that you should have lost. And, I think we've dropped a couple more that we should have won than should have lost. You know, we've had a little trouble in the, we've had some guys, some very good hitters not swinging the bat real well. And it's not just one guy, it's three or four. We need a couple guys to heat up and, we've had a couple issues out of the bullpen, you know, in the middle innings, getting some things done, shutting down some rallies against the other team. And so I think if we can get a couple guys going, and tough weekend to get guys going, you know, tough guy tonight, Mazza, he's, 93 to 95 and competitor and experience and it's going to be a pretty good draft pick and, you got to beat guys like that all the same. And So yeah, we need to get our offenses much better than what the numbers say. But you are what your numbers are right now, and that's what we've been. So I told the team the other day, you know, we need a couple. It doesn't matter who. I'm not putting pressure on anybody. It doesn't have to be the older guys or the ones that everyone talked about. But we need this offense is much, much more capable than what we've shown. We just need a couple guys to be who they are. I'm not asking somebody to be something that they're not, or, gosh, you got to hit 400 and from here on out, and that's not the case. We just need, you know, some of our guys to be better, you know, two or three offensively, two or three on the mound. But a lot of coaches feel that way, but it's very, very true for this team right now.
Luke, get in here with Coach Calvin.
Yeah, Coach, 246 batting average, 31 home runs, but you guys are running a lot. Is the average down just some tough luck where the ball was hit?
I think it's a little bit of everything. There's some guys that got off to a bad start, and you got, you know, confidence is a big factor, and, you know, I just think being comfortable up there, not worrying about making it out and not watching your numbers, you know, go down, that's a real thing. So I think we've had some of that. You know, we've had to run a little bit, try to create some offense until some guys come around, which is what we've had to do.
Let's talk about your rotation, Swilling tonight, Hill tomorrow, a guy that I remember, Leif Moore on Sunday. Talk about your rotation.
Yeah, Carson Swilling will be tonight, and, you know, he's an Auburn transfer. Actually, he and Cam Hill are Auburn transfers, both kids we offered out of high school, and feel fortunate, you know, we got them this year in the transfer portal, and both of them have been very, very solid. Swilling's dealt with an ankle and an oblique, and he's had some tendonitis, and, you know, I think if we can get him 100% healthy and who he is, you know, when he's healthy, it's you know, it's 91, 94, and it's good curveball, good slider, good changeup, and putting it all together. It's just a matter of him, you know, being able to be 100% healthy and not having some nagging, not enough for where you'd skip a start, but also enough to where you're not 100% out there. So we'll see tonight, and Cam Hill's been really good for us. You know, it was a two-way guy and just kind of committed to pitching only here and, you know, after the Christmas break. And he's done a really nice job for us. And, you know, Leif is supposed to go on Sunday, but, we, you know, if we need to use him to win a game Friday or Saturday, we'll use him and we'll TBA on Sunday.
Coach Calvi, Leif Moore came your way by way of Pearl River. You had a shortstop, I think, that also came to you from Pearl River, who's a Mobile native, to be fair.
But, yeah, J.G. Bell, that's
yeah,
right.
John Griffin Bell. But you guys have really found that recruiting can at Pearl River, man. They got some players down there, and Jones is having a really good year, too. So talk a little bit about the junior college system in Mississippi from your experience.
Yeah, the junior college system in Mississippi is outstanding, and you know, we've had a great relationship with a lot of those schools in Mississippi, and we'll continue. You know, it's a great feeder system for Division One. Basically, every division, they play such a, you know, there's some really good coaches in the league, and they get them prepared to play at a high level, and they're facing good, you know, they're facing good arms and good hitters in that league. So, a lot of times, you know, the numbers translate. I mean, look at McIntyre for you guys. You know, I mean, he had a good year at Meridian, and it doesn't always translate. You know, a kid hits 380 in junior college doesn't mean he's going to hit 380 or 350 or 400. There is a learning curve to every level, but man, if kids have success in Mississippi JUCO, for the most part, it translates. So we'd be foolish. You know, it's one state over. We'd be foolish not to be in there a good bit and recruiting the talent in Mississippi.
Your 13th year now at South Alabama, of course, so a little bit of the old school, but there's the new age part of science and so on in the game of baseball. The question comes up every once in a while about fully funding baseball, like football and basketball, whereas baseball, you only have 11.7 scholarships. What's your thought, Coach, on fully funding baseball? Do you have a strong feeling about it one way or the other?
I absolutely do. I think it should be fully funded because you have in college baseball, you have the haves and have nots. Like we, you know, we don't have the lottery system in this state. So you've got some schools with, you know, if a kid has a 3.0 and a 21 ACT, basically books and tuition are free before it ever even dings their scholarship ledger at all. And then there's some schools in this league that don't have that, where, you know, you don't have the lottery money, you don't have the stackable aid, you don't have as much as other schools. So I do think baseball being fully funded would go a long way. I mean, the game has grown exponentially. If you want it to continue to grow and also diversify culturally, yeah, I think that's an aspect that hurts our game. It hurts college baseball. From a diversification standpoint, from a socioeconomic standpoint, I won't get into all that, but you look around,
right,
and you see the kids that are playing football and basketball. Well, there's full scholarships. And then you look around the baseball roster, and it's 11.7. It's, you know, so some kids aren't even getting into baseball as youth. They're playing football, basketball. That's where the money is. And it's a shame because college baseball is huge. It's on every college baseball game is televised, ESPN3. The College World Series is an enormous event, brings in so much money, yet the NCAA doesn't part with any of that money and fund baseball because they see basketball and football as the cash cow. And really, baseball is making money for the NCAA, no question about it.
Coach, I'm sorry that we're out of time. It's a great conversation. We're really grateful to you, and we're looking forward to an exciting series with an old rival starting tonight at 6:30. Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Mark Calvey, everybody, head baseball coach of South Alabama. We're going to kill him. It'll be easy, Tanner.
Did he hang up already? Did he hear you say that?
No, he's not. He hung up. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we really appreciate South Alabama baseball coach Mark Calvey joining us on game day. That only happens in baseball, with the exception of Will Hall. He's always available. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. We appreciate all they do. It's a great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. They're open right now, and Miss Kathleen is looking for part-time help. So if you want a great job, that would be a shot. Also want to say hello to Mobe Beignet Company, the official beignet company of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. It's Friday. We always go to New Orleans, catch up with the professor, Patrick McGee. And, Patrick, I'll get to the Saints in a minute. You said there's not a lot of news, but I wanted to ask you this. You told us last week that the number one sports story was the LSU women's basketball team, and now – The governor's gotten involved because they weren't on the floor for the national anthem. Angel Reese has announced she's leaving. What is the latest in that never-ending soap opera known as LSU women's basketball?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not lying. It is. It has been a bit of a soap opera, and Kim Mulkey's put a winning. They won the national championship a year ago, and Kim Mulkey's a personality that brings a lot of attention. You know, she's obviously a very good basketball coach and gets results on the court. She's able to recruit. She's kind of everything you want into, but, away from the court, she's a little bit of a lightning rod. She's not afraid to speak her mind, and that's kind of helped bring attention on top. Now you added, Angel Reese. You have a Flaje Johnson, who I think is going to be an exceptional professional basketball player. She's really took a step forward as a sophomore, but really had a bit of a super team, had as many talented players as you could possibly have on a team, but in a way they didn't mesh in the way. You can have all the talent in the world, but if they don't kind of complement each other in a way, it just didn't quite get to that Final Four. They lost to Iowa in the Elite Eight. But just a little bit on what you talked about, I think I said last week, if you go back, I go through our website numbers over the course of, say, a year or a month, or, I'm constantly looking at it, but LSU women's basketball has completely dominated traffic on our website, and we're talking about beating out the Saints, beating out LSU.
That's
you know,
amazing.
It's I mean, I would say probably the top 40 stories over the last year, I would say probably 25 to 30 of them involve LSU women's basketball.
All right, now here's I'm going to ask you your opinion on this. So this season ends. Angel Reese is now gone.
Yeah.
Caitlin, I'm sorry.
Caitlin Clark for Iowa.
Caitlin Clark. She's going to leave after this year.
Right.
So will all of this attention and all of this publicity and all of this attendance drop back again, you think? Are those the two that drew the attention?
No. I mean, I don't think it's stopping, especially for LSU women's basketball. Flo-J Johnson, who really played, was probably right there behind Caitlin Clark, one of the better players in this NCAA tournament. She's back, and she's a pop star. She's a rap artist on Jay-Z's record label, and she just happens to play LSU basketball. She's a really likable character as well. Haley Van Lith, who was also a bit of a pop star herself in her own right, transferred from Louisville to LSU in the offseason. She was at LSU for a year. You know, obviously kind of went into a mix where there were better players on the team, and now she's transferring elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a weird deal. It's a new age of athletics, NIL, and LSU is just dominating the NIL game across the board. You name the sport. I mean, LSU is the top of the pile.
They got the money.
Yeah, they got the money, and people, you know, the entire state's really bought into LSU. You have a bunch of D1 universities in the state, but nobody can touch what LSU does.
No.
So a pretty quiet week for the Saints, although they did put a guy that do have a guy pen to paper now. Patrick, update us there, and any pre-draft news that might be coming out of the Big Easy.
Yeah, I'm probably about to butcher his first name, but it's Kalik Hudson, a linebacker from the Commanders. A guy that has mostly been a special teams player for Washington over the last couple of years, but I read something the other day where he really kind of took off late in the year, and over one stretch, I think maybe the three or four final games of the season, he led the NFL in tackles. So maybe the Saints are kind of grabbing a guy that can not only be a special teams impact guy, but could probably be either a second team or a guy they could plug in pretty easily at linebacker. There was some concern kind of coming in about depth at linebacker and in the front seven, but they've made some moves to kind of shore that up.
Luke, I thought all the players on the Commanders were special team players.
Buddy, you're in trouble when you're pulling players off the Commanders.
Patrick, I thought it was really interesting. ESPN doing kind of a draft preview. Thought that the Saints could maybe get Michael Pratt in the fourth or fifth round. Do you think that might be a thing if, you know, they don't get Penix in the second round?
I have seen the Saints try that whole thing where they draft quarterback in the fourth or fifth round, and it never works. I didn't like it last year when they drafted Hayner, and Hayner maybe turns into a capable backup, can play some eventually, but I'm somebody that thinks if you can't get your guy in the first couple of rounds, there's real no point going after quarterback at that point. You may as well just pick up somebody in free agency. I know there are guys that kind of go against that rule, but the Saints have just historically just had a terrible time when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, say, after the third or fourth round.
So if Bo Nix is available at 14, if Michael Penix is available, you know, in the 40s, what do you do?
I mean, at 14, no, I don't think you can afford to take a quarterback just because you so badly need, you know, right tackle, left tackle. You just need help there. I think the Saints are just locked in. I couldn't tell you who it is right now. I know there's names bounced around out there, but I think it's pretty darn obvious that the Saints are going with an offensive tackle in the first round. And with that second pick, it would not surprise me if they drafted another offensive tackle. I mean, that's it's just so obvious that's where they need.
Yeah. I did want to get your take on the whole Diggs leaving Buffalo. I mean, that's – you talk about breaking up the Fellowship of the Ring. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, that's Allen's boy. But you go back and you see what the Texans got out of Deshaun Watson and now what they're getting now. I mean, they could be really good.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, the Bills have been a team that really kind of, if there's one team where it's kind of faced the salary cap crunch and kind of lost, it seems like the Bills have kind of been that team here this offseason. You've really seen them kind of make some moves and make some cuts along the way. So, I expect the Bills to be quite good, but obviously to lose somebody like Diggs, That's a huge blow. I don't know if they're going through a kind of a little bit of a youth movement in Buffalo with some at some key positions. I don't know. But, yeah, losing Diggs. But Allen is the show up there. You know, if they can put together a decent group of receivers around them, they're going to be fine. But you need the number one guy, and obviously Diggs was that guy.
Let's talk about your division, the Saints division. Kirk Cousins, I've always followed him, always been a fan of his, comes to Atlanta with coming off of an Achilles injury. Is Kirk Cousins past his prime? 1-2, does Atlanta have the personnel to make Kirk Cousins successful there, or is he going to end his career just on a dreadful football team?
I don't like Atlanta's receivers. So, I think, you know, Bijan Robinson, I think they're fine at running back. And, you know, I don't know. But I guess the joke on social media the other day is that Kirk Cousins is basically Derek Carr. So how are you going to beat the Saints? You know, by adding a Kirk Cousins, or how are you going to beat him in the division? I don't really buy that. I mean, Kirk Cousins has played pretty well. He's been around a while, but he really hasn't lost a much. But at the same time, anytime you have an Achilles injury and it comes at what, age 35,
pretty tough. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot to ask a guy to get back out there and be the same guy. Not that he was always the most mobile, but I mean that's a really serious injury that can be debilitating. I think they were pretty pleased with his progress after the injury, but count me as a skeptic, especially at this point of his career.
We rarely get to talk about the NBA franchise in New Orleans. The Pelicans are headed to the playoffs. The attendance is pretty good this year. Why is the second time around with the NBA appear to be working, Patrick, when it clearly didn't the first time?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, there was a pretty big gap, you know, between the time the Jazz left and the Pelicans got here. So it's a different city. I think maybe part of it is that, you know, the tourism industry has really matured, and that's contributed to, you know, more butts in the seats over time. I think, you know, having Zion in at this point is a big draw. Before that, they had Chris Paul and Anthony Davis. So you've had some big names come through. You know, I guess the Jazz are really known for Maravich, and that was about it. You know, I'm maybe off on that, but that's the only guy I can really associate with the New Orleans Jazz. So I think that the franchise has had some names come through that keep people coming back. And, you know, Zion's still a young guy. It appears he's kind of bought in at this point. He's gotten healthy. He's in good shape. Right now the Pelicans are reeling just a bit just because they don't have Brandon Ingram out there. He's such a big part of what they do. They're still putting a talented team on the court, but throughout the season they just haven't shown that consistent killer instinct there, say, in the fourth quarter. So at some point, they really have to start beating good teams and closing out victories. And not having Ingram out there is just tough for them to do. I mean, they're in danger of possibly falling back into the play-in tournament if they keep losing. But my suspicion is that they're going to get back on track at some point here pretty quickly.
All right, Patrick, you're the best, man. We appreciate you being on the show each and every week since the beginning, I might add. And you were a young guy when you first started coming on the Eagle Hour, Patrick.
And now I'm a very old man.
They were old when you started, Patrick. They are even older now.
Says the middle-aged Luke Johnson. Thanks, Patrick. We'll talk to you next week, bro.
Appreciate it.
Birthday. Not a good time.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Patrick McGee from NOLA.com, Mark Calvey, baseball coach at South Alabama, for joining us. Appreciate those guys spending some time with us today. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. It's Catfish Friday. You missed it, but there's still next Friday, and I would be there if I were you. They'll have great food all weekend. They'll have all the Southern Miss South Al baseball games on the TV. And it'll just be a great place to hang out. Now, Kelly, I got a dilemma tonight, and you got to help me with this.
I notice how we're saying South Al too when Coach Calvey's not on.
You know, Coach Calvey's a pretty big guy, and I'm gonna be down there tomorrow. I don't want him to jerk me up by the neck. I got to watch the Golden Eagles tonight. The game doesn't start till 6:30. 8 o'clock is Iowa and UConn basketball. So I certainly want to watch that. What is it? Should I do it like in the old days, Kelly? Remember on New Year's Day, you'd put three TVs. My dad used to put three TVs up in the living room, and he'd have the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, all going at one time.
The kids now, Bob, say that you can do like a screen, like you can a TV in one or whatever. You can.
I don't have that kind of TV. I don't.
The previous referred to middle-aged Luke Johnson has things called devices.
Yeah.
And devices have things called streaming, and the streaming has multiple options. So you can have your TV on one, your laptop on another, your iPad on another, and that's how you do
it. That's why we have a middle-aged guy on the show to give me this kind of advice.
And he obviously has no bitterness for being called a middle-aged guy.
He's still talking.
I would just like to point out the separation in the cultures here. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the spring game tomorrow at the Rock, people will get to see a little bit. And I always say that because they're
not going to see much, are you?
Yeah, they're not going to throw all the cards out there because you know there'll be eyes and ears from other schools that Southern Miss plays.
Cooch, Luke, did you like spring football?
I did. Partly because what was really fun about the spring game was Darren, McCaleb, and I played for both teams. So we got to play, like, the entire game. And, you know, sometimes you would, you know, have coaches ask you to, it was a joke, have do better than home for one team than the other. But, I mean, like, we were always, if we had a good game, then we would get to eat, you know, steak or whatever they served us post-game meal. Anyway, yeah, it was good because there wasn't pressure. It was a laid back side of spring, but you were able to really like refine things. We weren't ever under the gun really, and so spring for us wasn't drudgery in the sense because it was spaced out. Now I do like how Coach Hall has it spread out even more. His approach was a little different than ours, but yeah, ours was more jam packed, but the spring game was probably more of an event than it is all across college football now.
Yeah, I remember back when Jim Carmody was the head coach. I was the quote-unquote, air quotes, celebrity coach 1 year, and they would get somebody else to be the celebrity. And we would always get to call one play, and it would always be the most abstract, bizarre thing you could possibly call it. End around, Statue of Liberty, plays like that. I'm sure they don't do that anymore, but yeah, it's going to be an event.
I'm sure that Big Nasty just loved having to fool with the quote-unquote celebrity coaches.
They don't call him Big Nasty for nothing.
Yeah, he was just loved media guys.
You asked permission from Big Nasty to breathe.
Yeah, you know, the signal that he really didn't like media people is back in when I was covering them, when they would fly on two Convair airplanes. There would be two aircraft. They weren't like a big jet now. And the media always flew on the other airplane from Big Nasty. You were never on the same airplane with him.
And I think that was probably the media's choice, wasn't it?
Well, it made it a lot easier.
I will tell you,
getting there and back.
I mentioned it yesterday with Lee. I actually had my first spring game. I ran for 30, 35 yards. Here's a name, throwback name, Kelly, Tootie Myers.
Mm.
Tootie Myers took my knee out. He was the returner on the other team, and I tore my MCL. So I'm in Bond Hall. And we went somewhere, me and my roommate, but I was on crutches. And we get back, and we have a voicemail on our dorm phone from Coach Bauer checking on me. Now, I was a true freshman at the time. You know, I was like the backup, whatever. And we saved that voicemail for like the rest of the semester until we like had to delete it because we got a new phone or whatever. We were like, Coach Bauer called our dorm room. This was incredible. But it really was for a true freshman. But yeah, thankfully I didn't have to have surgery on that. But that was my first spring game, was tearing my MCL.
Tootie Myers out of Petal, Mississippi, who was also quite a baseball player.
Now, he had already been to the major leagues and was coming back to play.
Some of those guys from Petal just make good football and baseball players, I guess.
All right, Damon Mixon from the Student Prince is in the studio with us. We should invite him to say something since he's here. Damon, we're of the anticipation you're not going to see much of anything tomorrow at spring game. I know you've been covering it for the paper. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be fun to see the new look offense for a lot of the fans who haven't been able to get out to practices, obviously. We've seen it every single day for the past 3 or 4 weeks. But or every single practice day. But I think it'll be fun to see that new look offense. I wrote yesterday on Ravels.com. I think it'll be really interesting to see the quarterbacks, for a fan to see the four different quarterbacks. And then really, in my opinion, one of the more interesting things about tomorrow is seeing these wide receivers versus the defensive backs on the spring game, because you know, wide receiver room for this year's Southern Miss football team is one of the rooms that kind of looks like the one that you're a little iffy about. You know, you return Ty Mims, but you really don't have anybody else returning. You get J.J. Butler on the outside, who's kind of that big, tall receiver. So it'll be really interesting to see him kind of go match up against the secondary, who should let me point that out, should have most of their defensive backs to play.
I'm not going
to
put you on the spot, but then this is coming from Dema Mixon, student prince. Come September, the starting quarterback for Southern Miss will be.
Who do I – just to put a guess?
Yeah. Just from what you've seen. Yeah, what
Billy you Joe Tolliver.
I think Luke Johnson will be out. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
Oh, then the over-under in our wins will be
– Yes. Under.
Under. I have no eligibility remaining.
Well, if I had to pick today, I'd say Ethan Crawford.
Really?
Yeah. If I had to pick today.
That's not a big gamble, though.
No. Well, I just think he brings such a different element than the other three with his running ability. Now, he doesn't have the most accurate arm of the four, but if I was Will, I mean, I was talking to Clay Bignall, defensive coordinator, and I said, what is it like when you have to defend Ethan Crawford? And he said, we have to think of everything completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And it just changes the way defenses have to scheme. Because it adds a whole other element to the game.
And I got to tell you guys, I've talked to some guys that are really into high school football, and they tell me John White was the best quarterback in the state last year, and that Oak Grove was lucky to beat him. Does he not have the talent to steal that job his freshman year?
He definitely does. He's definitely up for the starting job. I mean, I think you have four solid guys who could all get it. But if I'm putting a name on it, I'd say Ethan Crawford. But the only reason I would say not John White is just because, you know, true freshman. Do you really want to start a true freshman again for this team? I don't know.
We record all these shows.
Yeah.
So we're going to play this back.
Yeah.
Luke, get in here with Dema Mixon.
What do you think Tate Rodemaker will look like after having another 2 or 3 months in this offense as far as, you know, preparing rolling into fall camp?
Well, I think that's one of the elements of his game that's just been missing. You know, you have a Wiles and Crawford who have come in. You know, they've already been a part of this program. They've already been doing these things. You have John White and Rodemaker. And when you have a quarterback position like this, a battle like this, you have two guys out in front, even though Rodemaker's probably the more talented out of all four of them. He's still kind of lagging behind because he hasn't been here. He hasn't done the things that Ethan Crawford has. He hasn't had Coach Hall. And I do think it's going to help him a lot. That's why I wouldn't leave tomorrow and say, this is your starting guy. Now, I do hope that Will Hall says that out of spring, this was the front runner, just as a media person, because I want it. That would be a lot easier than having to just keep guessing for the next, what is it, five months?
But in transfer world, I don't know necessarily if any program can do that, you know, about naming a guy leaning, because if a guy's like, I don't have a shot, deuces, you know, and I'm not saying our four would do that. But that happens in other places.
Yes. And I think that's the reason he won't do that. I'm just saying I hope he does it.
Yeah, I got it.
But I don't think he will. That, just like whoever runs out there first tomorrow, I mean, it's not – I mean, they'll probably you never know who they're going to run out.
He said that earlier in the week,
so
not to make too much of it.
No,
Dree Clark can be an every down back, huh? He's looking the part.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I took out of going to spring drills is that – and the guys will say this. We've had a lot of different same names on this team, but you'll be seeing them playing different positions next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested as to what it was that made them change courses, the coaching staff change course with some of these guys.
Say that again?
You know, well, some of the same players that we had last year will be playing different positions,
yes,
particularly on the defensive side
Dylan
of the ball.
Lawrence is one.
Yeah, and so I wondered what it was about, what happened to make them shuffle the deck a little bit.
Well, I think it's you have the addition of a new defensive coordinator coming in, kind of a different scheme. He runs a different scheme than Dan O'Brien did, and Dylan Lawrence is kind of like that. He's kind of like a linebacker almost. I don't even know how to describe him, the way he's running defense. He's actually had a couple sacks in spring camp, so Dylan Lawrence is a good example of that.
All right, Demon's going to hang around the remainder of the hour. We'll be back, wrap up the Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Friday. Final segment of the week brought to you by DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. It's all there. Instruction, batting cages, pro shop. DBAT, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Kelly Sander from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel joined with Dima Mixon. Happy to have him continuing in this fourth segment with us. A couple news and notes. Southern Miss beach volleyball falling earlier this morning to the Lady Tigers of LSU. Southern Miss, in about 7 minutes, will take on Florida Gulf Coast. They are in Atlanta this weekend for a tournament sponsored by Georgia State. Softball out in Conway, South Carolina, taking on Coastal Carolina. That game, first pitch, 5 p.m. Central Time today. Men's tennis on the road at Louisiana on Sunday. Women's tennis hosting Appalachian State tomorrow, and then Marshall on Sunday. And then Joy Lee McNellis earning the Pat Summit Most Courageous Award from the United States Basketball Writers Association. She received that award yesterday prior to the women's Final Four beginning tonight. So good stuff for the best fighter we know, Joy Lee McNellis. Baseball tonight across the Sun Belt, App State at James Madison, Old Dominion at Coastal, Texas State at Marshall, Georgia State at Georgia Southern, Arkansas State at Troy, ULM at Louisiana, Southern Miss at South Alabama.
Let me say that Georgia State's bubble may get busted this weekend with Georgia Southern.
I was just going to say, of all the series that Luke just listed there, that's the one that I'm going to be watching with the most interest, because our Eagles have already played the Georgia Southern Eagles, and they've got the Panthers coming up next week. And yeah. So that and if Georgia State plays in the old Turner Turner Field where the Atlanta Braves used to play.
Now, you know, Dima Mixon, we don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year, but I think what would be really bad news for any team once the tournament starts would be to hear that your first draw was Georgia State. I sort of see them as the dark horse right now in the league.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They got some good bats, good arms. I'm really looking forward to that series next week just to see how Southern Miss matches up against a team like that, especially on the road. You know, you've seen – I would compare them to a Troy. You know, they can – scrappy team who can hit the ball pretty well, good power, and then a couple of arms who could work against the Southern Miss lineup.
You know who else is getting kind of sneaky good is Texas State.
Yeah.
Well, I say sneaky good. I mean, they were expected to be, you know, decent this year, but in the – you know, preseason prognostications, they really weren't picked as lofty as I thought they should have been.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Dima, are you still optimistic like us, or are you have you joined the suicide watch list that's on Eagle Post right now?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose out, you know. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, you look at this year versus last year, it's practically the same exact record. You know, I don't think they have like a 15 or 16 game win streak lined up over the next couple weeks like they did last year. Because you got to this point last year and you're looking at the schedule and you're like, man, they could really mark up some wins here. I mean, I think this weekend you have a chance to get a series, maybe even a sweep, just because of how bad baseball South Alabama has been playing. You'd think you would win on Tuesday against Southeastern Louisiana.
Well, I thought that this past Tuesday.
We thought that this weekend, right, and this past Tuesday. But hypothetically, if you were to get 3 out of 4 the next four, go to Georgia State and see what you can do. Then you got ULM on the road, I think, the next week. So that should be a pretty easy series. So hopefully you can get at least 10 wins out of the next 12
games.
Well,
it's even better. I think Monroe actually comes here, so that should
Oh, do they? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, they went there
last
year.
And you do realize that you said possibly a sweep. You do realize they're playing South Alabama.
I know. I was talking with Yeah, I was talking to my friend yesterday. He was saying, well, South Alabama isn't that good. And I was like, well, South Alabama, not that good, generally means a loss.
We need that sound effect. It's like South Alabama, dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime we mention it.
South Alabama is not that good.
Yeah, I think two years ago, it was like when they beat South Alabama on that midweek, it was like, oh, this team is going to do it. You know, it's like, almost turned the script.
And when you look up and down these Sun Belt standings, I just don't see a weak sister this year.
It's anybody's.
When you say a sweep, I hear you, but these teams are, there's so much parity in the league this year. I just don't see any bona fide sweeps.
Now talk about a tournament, guys.
It's going to be fun.
Anybody could win. Luke Johnson. That's going to be the tournament in Montgomery.
It will be, and it will be whoever has pitching left, whoever has the deepest pitching bullpen. That's where it goes. And so that's why, Dima, let me ask you this. We got about 30 seconds left. Are you in favor of giving these guys more and more opportunities in the midweek rather than just throwing out the same guys that you're going to use on the weekend?
Yes, I am. I think they have to do it. Yeah, I mean, because you saw what happened. And the best example I can give is Cross Sibley last year. Started off really good, right? He started off like almost unhittable. When you start working those younger guys, which is their best guy to the pen, I guess you could say, is either McCarty English, Chase Adams, all those players, you start working those guys to kind of fall into the weekend action. But if you don't have some kind of help or some kind of experience from those back end guys, you're not going to be able to win a Sun Belt tournament. Like you're saying, you need your pitching. You need experience.
All right, he said a sweep. So Kelly and Bob, what you got?
I think the Golden Eagles win 2 out of 3.
I agree.
No, man. Bring them brooms out. We going to break the curse.
Oh boy, here we go.
Bring them.
All right, we do record these shows, guys. All right. Thanks, Damon. We appreciate you, man. That wraps up this week. We'll have Coach Oz on the show Monday, of course, and we hope you'll join us then. Hope you have a great weekend. Maybe we'll see you in Mobile this weekend. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Sweep.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.